time to learn about everything happening during the world's biggest tournament. It's the World of Soccer with Glenn Davis.
Presented by Kaplan Sinus Relief. Breathe well, live well.
Now back to John and Lance inside the Huntington Bank Studios.
All right, welcome back. Every day, we've been talking to Glenn Davis. The excitement built and built and built to a crescendo. And then it was a giant fart last night. And Glenn Davis is joining us now. We talked about this yesterday, Glenn, how disappointing it would be with a loss. But a 4-1 loss, and as bad as they looked, your thoughts on what went down?
Yeah, I really thought the U.S. going into this game was going to be able to continue with that sort of great energy they had. Look, when the curtains got rolled back and you were on stage, it's an epic fail, sadly. It happens in sports. We've seen it in a lot of different places. That's not an excuse, but incredibly disappointing after engaging the country and having a good run. But the biggest thing that stood out to me was actually the smarts of Belgium and the way they played. If you look at the U.S. in the games that we won and playing against Paraguay, Australia, and Bosnia, all three of those teams allowed us to have the ball. All three of those teams allowed us to gain some confidence through passing, and we were also coming out of the gates really strong. I think you saw last night a Belgium that pushed higher up the field, made it difficult, led by a great midfielder in Tielemans, and that combined with maybe a lot of the unknown. I mean, guys looked like they couldn't control the ball, couldn't beat anybody. I mean, Serginho Dest, Pulisic. I think we got overrun in midfield, and I think the higher block of Belgium really made it difficult for the United States. And all things combined, it was a very, very tough and disappointing night.
That has to be the most disappointing and concerning thing to me, is you couldn't beat anyone on the ball one-on-one. Like, you couldn't. Not only were all the passes being deflected or flat stolen, when you were being pressured, there was no one. And I'm comparing against other teams in this tournament. You're right. There was no one, Glenn, who was beating, like when they were being pressured, who could beat them on the ball, who could get around them.
Invisibly didn't look confident. But look, a lot goes off your midfield. Their midfield outplayed ours. They were higher up the field. And that's really the basis where a lot begins. But, you know, I don't want to commit paralysis by overanalysis here. There's a lot of places you can lean and look to. You know, there's fans going after individual players. This was a failure in every facet of the game. It doesn't take away from what they did up to this moment. Remember, there's another 32 teams that didn't go as far as this. So, I mean, it's deflating. 100. I couldn't sleep last night. I was so sad because it was such a big opportunity. But I'll probably go back to bed after this. But it just was so deflating. I think we were all up for it, and it happens, right? It's sports, and you're going to go back to the drawing board. But I'll tell you what, that's a bad game to have to think about for 4 years.
Yeah. What I mean, you said yesterday it'll be a fail. What does this mean for – I mean, okay –
Well, it's a fail result-wise, John. It's a fail result-wise, in my opinion. I mean, for me, you had to make the quarterfinals. You're a host country. From a result standpoint, it's a fail. But there's a lot of other things that are not a fail. The engagement, the run they took us on for a while. I think a lot of people fell in love with a lot of these players. But at the end of the day, if we're just looking at results, and we're putting that much stock in getting to a quarterfinal, and this is how we judge the state of soccer in America, then we didn't get there.
Yeah. What do you think? Goodell brought this up, Pulisic 31. And Next World Cup, by the time the next World Cup gets here. He's going to be 31. You got other guys that are getting older. We've got to have some new – there will be some guys that we'll be on this team. What do you think about 4 years from now, the look of this team?
Well, a lot of these guys can play in another cycle. There's no question. I think if you're talking about Christian Pulisic, I think I know I mentioned to you guys when we first started these that I was concerned about his durability, and I think a lot of people were injury prone. I mean, his World Cup was not a good one, right? He teased us with the explosive performance in the first 45 minutes against Paraguay, but, you know, he didn't score a goal. He had to take himself out of games due to injury. I mean, this is a real concern in his career. And is his career going to be as talented as he is, defined by injury? This World Cup, it didn't turn out the way he would have wanted it, I'm sure.
No. But can you be a team, a quarterfinal team, a top eight team, if Christian Pulisic is still considered your best guy?
Well, you were one game away from it, and he had played limited minutes. You know, I believe you got to have certain players step up. We didn't have that last night. Nobody really helped put a foot on a ball and get control of that game last night. It just seemed very nervous, tentative. I don't know what it was. It was as though, you know, the drinking water was spiked. That normal, great, aggressive energy, which I think we have never seen from a World Cup team before as far as being progressive and higher up the field and trying to attack, that never materialized against Belgium. And Belgium was smart. Like I said, you got to give Rudy Garcia a lot of credit for his tactics by pushing his team higher up the field to confront the U.S. and say, okay, now try to play through us. And it never happened.
Yeah, it was it's so disappointing for so many different reasons. I mean, everyone's caught up in World Cup fever, and the U.S. was, you know, a part of it. They were a legitimate part of it. And then you get out of this, and then when you take a macro view, you step back and take a macro view, and you look at the opposition the U.S. played. They stepped up in opposition, got waylaid. And that's with Doku, Lukaku, and De Bruyne on the bench. They built a 3-1 lead. And then you start.
That's why the coach was smart, Lance. He put out a younger team. He's going to use the two out of the three of those older guys when the games people have run stuff out of their legs and bring him on late. And he didn't even need to. I don't even.
Did De Bruyne even didn't play. No, he didn't even have to play. He didn't even play. And then you take a look at a team like Cape Verde, and this is, I mean, the way they competed against Argentina and Uruguay and Spain, and you say, man, this was a competitive side the entire time. And then the U.S., it just makes you wonder, like, how good is the U.S. really? And I know this is their worst performance. I don't want to judge them off their worst performance. It's just hard not to fall back on the fact that are they skilled enough to really be a final eight side? I'm going back and forth with a guy from England who I met, you know, at the Portugal-Uzbekistan match. And he said, look, your team did well for the players they have. He said, they're just not talented enough to be a final eight side, and that's what you need to be judging. And I'm just thinking, yeah, but you're probably right.
You can tell your friends, welcome to the rest of the world. I mean, come on. There's 10 teams in the world that you might even put in that category, and maybe less, right? And I think that's the challenge for the United States is, how do we crack a top 10? How do we compete against the best teams in the world? And by the way, Belgium, you know, seduced me a lot because they looked terrible against Senegal. They didn't look like they wanted to be there. Mm-hmm. And then somehow win that game. And then now they've morphed into something different and have motivation. And, you know, who knows what they can do against Spain now.
Well, how about that game? A lot of criticism for the way that Portugal played. Cristiano Ronaldo was a non-factor. But a lot of that, you know, you had talked about their midfield and how talented they were, and yet, afterwards, Thierry Henry was saying, hey, you got the best midfielders. How come you're not trying to get Cristiano? Why is Cristiano on the field? You're not even trying to get him the ball. You didn't even attempt to do that. So the style that they played was very, very critical, and Spain moves on with a 1-0 win.
Well, Spain had most of the ball against Portugal and controlled the game. Listen, there were three moments in the game where Bruno Fernandes picked the ball up and Ronaldo's in front of him, but Ronaldo comes back to the ball because he can't be a threat behind the defense. So I think it's a little bit of both. Not that I can contest Thierry Henry, but I think when you have an immobile forward and a guy that's not a threat behind a defense, it allows the opponent to squeeze you. They weren't worried about Ronaldo outrunning them and getting behind them. I would say that the Portuguese midfield didn't live up to it in this World Cup either.
Yep. No, they haven't. They just really haven't had strong performances at all.
They didn't live up to it. Yet they were one goal away from winning the game. So, I don't know. You have to win games when you're not playing well, but you certainly can't enter games and not answer the bell at this stage of the tournament. You can get away with that in the group stage, and you can have an off game in the group stage and the safety net of 8 third-place teams making it. But at this point, you know, it's all magnified, and not answering the bell for the U.S. was a big disappointment.
Yep. No, they sure didn't. It was very disappointing. And I think, you know, you take away a lot of positives, Glenn, but a lot of people were so excited and wanted to see. And, you know, that performance really, really turned off a lot of people when they had the U.S. built up so much momentum. They had so many eyes on
it. But that's why you play sports. You know, there's nothing guaranteed. You know what the good thing was going into that game? We had grand expectations, and they weren't met. And that's a healthy thing, I think, for the sport. And I think, you know, the run we went through, you're competing against the world, unlike a lot of other sports. And there's a lot of people around the world that are very good at this game, that culturally this is the only game they have. These are not excuses, but they are the reality. And, you know, we'll see where the U.S. goes from here. C'est la vie. It's over. Mm-hmm. So now we are going to continue to enjoy the World Cup. We've got some great quarterfinals, Norway, England, France, Morocco, Spain, Belgium. We might even get an Argentina, Colombia, I'm thinking, which that'll be amazing.
Yeah, I think Colombia versus Switzerland is going to be a war today. I mean, that's going to be a heck of a battle just between those two. And Colombia's looked great the whole tournament. I continue to look at the odds for who's going to win. And Colombia has been this massive long shot the whole time. And after I watched them play Portugal, I thought, well, they're the better side here. And they still look.
Do you think Colombia has been a massive long shot? I don't.
No, no, no. The odd. No, I don't. That's what I'm saying. The odds makers. I've looked at the odds to win it.
Sorry.
And I'm like 30-1. You know, I understand they're not. I understand there's clear, defined favorites to win it. But to me, Colombia looks like they're one of the top five teams. They've looked like that the entire tournament. That's why I thought the odds
were.
But
to win it, wouldn't you want at least 30.
I know, but the odds have. I mean, that's a lot for a team of Colombia's talent. Colombia looks on the field. Colombia looks really good.
Yeah.
Yes.
Argentina, Egypt. How do you see it? You see Argentina?
Yeah, I do, but I also think that could be a really interesting game. It could be potentially troubling. Egypt has nothing to lose. I think they're feeling pretty confident. And, of course, it's another big star that's going to make his exit in Mo Salah. So that's one to keep an eye on also.
Yep.
Hey, England-Norway is going to be a hell of a matchup. I'm really excited about that one.
Well, look at the Europe has got to be feeling pretty good. There are 6 teams in, and only one. Well, and Morocco's just a straight of the Bering Strait away from being a European team. France, Morocco, Spain, Belgium, Norway, England. Holy crap!
I mean, but the best leagues, most of the best leagues are in Europe.
Yep. Argentina advances and Switzerland advances. Six of the 8 will be. Well, it doesn't matter who advances in the Argentina games, but 6 of the 8 will be from Europe. That's saying something about European soccer right now, huh?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, look, it's central axis of where the game is at the club level. There's no question, and Europe is where everybody goes. That's where all the best players go. That can be good for a national team. It can be, in the case of Brazil, maybe not good for a national team. So, listen. The U.S. is out. It was a really bad performance. They didn't live up to the moment, but there are 32 teams they're ahead of, and there's 32 teams that were out before them. So I don't know. There's all kinds of ways to condition this if you want to, and we can all grab the data we want to make it look good and make us feel better. I don't feel good about that game. I don't think anybody should, but I'm also not going to take away from the ride they took us on throughout the tournament, and hopefully there's a bunch of young people out there who one day are going to be pushing to make the U.S. national team.
Yeah, before we let you go, I have to ask you this because you comment on things like this. He said, a friend of mine said the day U.S. soccer players stop needing to have an average household income of $300,000 a year to have youth development is the day we start competing for a cup. You think that's accurate?
You're talking about pay to play?
I guess so. Yeah, I guess that's what the comment
was. Yeah, you're talking about
soccer travel?
That's a problem in our country with the game. It alters the way people are coached. I mean, I could even put it down to the level here in Houston. How are young players not getting into the Houston Dynamo that are U.S. born, right? On the field. There's oodles of talent here. You know, that's just kind of an example of a local player development issue. If we're not moving players through our local MLS teams, I mean, there's so many things you can get into. Promotion, relegation, consequence, intensity of environment, all these things, pay to play, mm-hmm. coaches that are out there that are coaching kids and are not being upfront and honest to them because they don't want the registration to go somewhere else. These are real legitimate problems. I'm not pointing the finger at anybody, but these are real legitimate problems. And I, you know, let's hope U.S. soccer does a deep dive on this. I mean, Germany's doing it right now. You know, they went home. There's a lot of teams that went home. Brazil's going home. They got to figure out what the future is going to look like because they haven't been the Brazil of the years of Pelé, Zico, and Socrates since 2002 when they won the World Cup.
The shadow of
reputation.
The shadow of Brazil in the past is haunting them because you're right. They don't. I do wonder though if it's maybe a good thing. It's never a good thing when you really boil it down and you see how people behave and act. But the pressure of a nation, you know, in Germany, if these nations who lose, they have unbelievable pressure on the manager, the players, and all that. And it gets on a micro level, it gets nasty and ugly and all that. But there is a pressure for accountability. Is that maybe something that will be a good thing that could happen? Is that there will be more pressure in a general sense from the U.S. public, a larger number of the public, for the U.S. to become a better side?
I don't know. I you have to have healthy pressure in order to grow anything, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you guys need it. I need it in whatever work I do. We all need healthy pressure, and certainly you need it in sports. I mean, we don't get it in the media in this country to the degree we probably should. We also have three other traditional sports. All these ingredients are important. I know people laugh at me when I keep bringing up healthy pressure and our local MLS team, but it's true. There's nobody writing critically about our local MLS team, the organization, the way it's run, the performance of the team, pro and con. You need these things. You would want these things. It's never going to platform forward with just rosy, everything is orange and really, really nice. This is competition, right? I mean, we just took one on the chin, just got smacked around by a soccer-playing nation in Belgium. And you either turn this into something good or you sit here and cry and bemoan the fact that we got knocked out. You have to look at it from all sides. But healthy pressure, consequence, we need that in our pro league here in America. We don't have it. And by the way, Mexico's struggling with that too now because Mexico adopted the U.S. playoff system. The two countries are doing business together, and that's the priority over competition. And Liga MX, to me, has dropped down a couple of notches. Mm.
That is Glenn Davis, brought to you by Kaplan Sinus Relief. Kaplan Sinus Relief is who has sponsored Glenn and continues to sponsor Glenn. We will talk to him about these games today, and the final eight will be decided today. Who will it be? Argentina, Egypt, Switzerland, Colombia, and we'll talk about that final eight tomorrow with Glenn. Glenn, tough one last. I was going to text, and I said, I'm just going to leave him alone. I don't want to, you know, this is a rough time for him, I would imagine.
Rough time for all of us.
Yeah, I think as a soccer culture, we wanted more. We had good things to take away from this World Cup. Look, the World Cup's not over. There's going to be tremendous drama. I'm headed off to see my therapist, and I will talk to you guys tomorrow.
Yep. That's Glenn Davis right here on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by Kaplan Sinus Relief. Let's break. 713-780-3776.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
So, Belgium is roughly the size of Maryland and has the population of Ohio. Or maybe even just New York City. It's got 11.8 million people. The New York area. L.A. area, somewhere around 12. The viewing area that Wendy has here is right around there. Could you... So, do you remember when Barry Switzer said, you give me Houston, the Houston area, I just get everybody in the Houston area, and I'll win a national championship. And you can have the rest of the country. Houston supplies about 100 to 125 Division I players every year. We have roughly 5% or a little bit higher, or right in that neighborhood, 5% of all of college football. Houston does. And so we just got beat by the state of Ohio, basically. Which, since everybody there, though, plays this sport, that's acceptable since per capita, I would imagine we're not even close is the number of people that play soccer in the United States. But the number of people that play soccer in the United States versus the number of people that play soccer in Belgium,
mm-hmm.
Is this acceptable behavior, getting our ass kicked by Belgium?
Not 4-1, but losing to Belgium is something we always do. So, yeah, you should. For people who pay attention, you should be used to losing to Belgium. Belgium, you laid out their population, but on the world stage, you could put them anywhere from 10 to 7, depending on the time they're having.
Who's that?
As far as teams in the world, Belgium.
Yeah.
But
they are all, but their best, I mean, their time is done.
Fine.
They're on the decline, but they're still talent. I mean, they're still quality.
We're talking about De Bruyne.
But about their program. You know, Alabama's down now, but Alabama's still, right.
And we're focusing on being down because of De Bruyne is old and Lukaku's older and certainly Courtois, it's less important for a goalie, but he's been around a long time.
They got a great goalie,
But look, man for man.
We got a great goalie.
Nah, that's not
Shut
true.
Shut up.
We've had great goalies.
Never say that again.
Man for man, they're better. They got better soccer players over there. Maybe not better athletes, but it's better soccer players on their roster compared to ours. And it showed itself.
We saw that yesterday.
And it showed itself, yeah.
Yeah.
You're right, though. The point you made earlier, Dell, is that you got a bunch of guys who are going to be late 20s and maybe even early 30s in the next World Cup. And the problem with that is it's not that you don't see soccer players play at that level, but usually when they're not good enough to advance deep into, if you're not a great, it's one thing for Belgium to be that old.
Yeah.
But Belgium were monsters in the young Belgium, 14 and then 18 and 22. When I say 14, 2014, now it's like the U.S. You probably don't want to have starting in the next World Cup. You need to have somebody younger who's on the come up.
If the ceiling for a in his prime McKinney, along with everyone else,
if this is the ceiling,
if the ceiling is around a 16. Look, they're not 4-1 worse than Belgium. They played an awful match, but hey, the score is the score. You can't be relying on that 27 turning to 31-year-old. He can be part of the process, and if he shows himself to be someone who can play, fine. Maybe I was too hard line in my stance about no one should be part of the team, but you shouldn't. The bulk of this team shouldn't be playing in 2030.
I think the problem with international soccer is this is just a one and done. if this were a series, a seven-game series like we have in the NBA, well, maybe they need to think about this. Well, we'd say, okay, that's just one game. This is what we'd be saying. That's just one game, guys.
It's a 30-point blowout, but it's just one game.
It's one game. Yeah, that's true. It's just one loss. It could be 4-1. It could be 47-1. Mm-hmm. It's just one loss.
It's just one loss.
We would regroup, and we'd be ready for game two in Seattle. We'd still be in Seattle playing.
We got to get a home game.
We got to get.
Why does Seattle get these games?
Well,
I
want
to know what Seattle did to deserve these games.
Because it's the loudest home field.
Yeah.
And the most fervent soccer community.
Houston, bring them to Houston. We get our
the Mexico
humidity,
fans would come and boo us.
Our humidity.
What? It's in an enclosed.
That's okay. And our we're at sea level, which is going to really throw off the Mexican team.
We're not playing Mexico.
We played Belgium. We played Belgium.
What do you
but
mean?
We might play them
if we play the seven game series.
They could never play at sea level.
If FIFA starts going to seven game series,
I don't know if you've heard, John, but we did just recently play Belgium in the environment you're talking about in a Gold Cup. Mexico in a Gold Cup final, and Mexico won in that building at sea level, and they won.
Did Balogun play, though?
Yeah, but it was just one game.
No,
did Pulisic play?
Just one
game.
Did
the great Pulisic play?
I don't know that Pulisic would have helped in that game.
Pulisic not playing is not a big deal. He usually doesn't play a lot. Pulisic's a lot like Kevin Durant. No, Kevin Durant's accomplished.
Stop it. He's a two-time finals MVP.
Yeah, Kevin Durant is like legit accomplished.
So for those who fell in love with the team.
Dreamshake just had a heart attack.
If you have. If this team, despite what happened last night, you still want to see what happens.
And I'm tired of these guys.
Not you specifically, but others.
Yeah, but I'm tired of all these guys. Tony Adams, all these guys. Like, who? Bring on somebody else.
Well, I was going to say there will be a new batch of guys.
Good.
You can hope to. You can look at and go, will these guys be part of our 2030 World Cup team? Because we host the Olympics, the guys who may be a part of the 2030 team are going to be playing in that Olympics.
Is it under 21 that they? What are
I think
the,
it's
what,
under 23 plus like three overage players.
Okay, and then what's the other group? There's an under 18.
There's an under 21, under 17. Those
are we any good in any of those?
Have we won anything with those?
Do we have
teams?
A pipeline? Are we the Astros in minor leagues?
No.
Or just a bunch
we have,
of
we have
we're 30th.
We have a player who's going to be playing for Man City, who's like 17 years old.
I like that. Wait. We do.
Look up Kevin Sullivan.
I saw some video. I saw a video of him this morning.
He's going to play.
He looks good.
Wait. The
Kevin?
Real club? Wait, is he going to
Kevin,
the academy?
No, Kevin. No, he will be.
He's on the real squad?
He is going to go over to. He's 16 years old. Man City will have him, I believe.
Wow. He looks European, too.
I think that's him. There's. I don't.
Yeah.
No,
I saw a video of him today. Yes.
He has a contract clause that he can
he's
transfer.
5'7", 121. Those are good players.
Once he's,
they're wee like that.
Once he's, and he's only 16, so he'll,
dude,
you think he'll
oh,
be a
no,
little
I'm sorry, he's 150 pounds.
So he still has a clause seven. In his contract that when he turns 18, he'll go play for Man City.
He doesn't turn 17. He doesn't turn 17 until
he's
September.
Yeah, he is young. And so he's got a couple of years before he becomes
he'll
a Man City player.
He'll be 19.
Wow.
He can play in our next World
he'll
Cup.
He'll be playing
definitely
with Haaland?
Who knows where Haaland will be, but there's a chance, I guess. But yes,
wow.
So we got Angoyo, who plays here for Real Salt Lake. That's a guy you want to pay attention to. There's some thought that he could play on this World Cup team, at least be on the roster. He plays for Real Salt Lake. He's young. Xavier Gozo. He is 19 years old. So if you're just hoping, you got excited, yeah, but you know these guys aren't good enough and you were looking for the next crop, we got a in-country Olympics where these guys will be able to show what they can do. And you, soccer, you kind of find out who's next. And, you know, the world has a lot of good young players and good young teams, so the U.S. will have a tough test. But that's the next step. Can these guys start the cycle by playing well in the Olympics, playing well on the youth level, and then get their call-ups to the national team?
All right, I'm sick of talking about huge failures. Let's talk about the Texans when we come back.
Okay.
Huge playoff failures. We can't talk about that.
They always get out of the round of 32.
We're going to talk about the Texans
the
and where
yeah
their roster ranks right now in the NFL. But first, we're talking a little golf, a little East River 9. What? We got the Scottish Open this week. We got next week We've got the Open, and we'll be at East River 9. And East River 9 is always, always, always awesome and waiting for you. Nine holes, par three, just an hour, hour and a half. Great place to take a guest. Great place to take a, you know, maybe a first date. You know, they got pickleball courts there. You can play pickleball with her or whatever. You can go hit balls, see if she can, if she's athletic at all, if she likes to play golf, take her. And it's just an hour and a half as opposed to a four-hour round. You've got a bar right there, a restaurant right there, where afterwards you have a drink. And you, I mean, it's a great place for clients, to bring a client. It's a great place to have a corporate membership for those of you, okay, because you got guys that can go at night because it's open at night. It's lighted, okay? So you can, you know, your guys can work all day and then entertain clients at night. I mean, or you can give it to your employees as a little bonus. Here, go play golf on us. It's a corporate membership. So if you're looking for a great way to entertain or make your business a better place to work, because you got a corporate membership there, East River 9 is here for you. Looking for a great place to get away and have yourself a big time. EastRiverTheNumber9.com, EastRiver9.com.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Ranking the best starting lineups in the NFL. Ranking the best starting lineups in the NFL.
Say it again? The best starting lineups or the best rosters?
Best starting lineups. Best projected starting lineups. 2026 NFL rosters. This was put together by Seth Walder, Aaron Schatz.
Okay, so they're real
Mike
dudes.
Clay.
Yeah, those are real dudes.
Okay.
Okay, so that's, it wasn't just somebody like just some rando on
No, it Instagram, wasn't a guy on Twitter.
Just like Mason putting it together or something.
No.
Okay. So I have to check because that's what Instagram is.
Yeah, that's
it's just a bunch of dudes who just say stuff and then everyone runs with it because it's what, content.
What all starting right. lineup would
so,
you like to
so
have
So it's
most?
Not it's not Patriots, Bills. I'm starting with Texans. Let's see, Patriots. I think Patriots is you know is a 7. The Bills would be 7.5. Dolphins would be like a 4. Jets would be like a 4-5. Steelers, 5. Ravens, probably, they're kind of coming down. I'm going to say a 7.
Well, instead of that, look, who do you think are the best teams?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to look at. It's not Jacksonville. It's not the Colts. I mean, the Texans right now, Broncos are pretty good. Chargers are pretty good. Chiefs get overrated. Okay, honestly, Cowboys aren't bad. Let's see, Vikings, Panthers. I mean, I think I have to make it. I think I have to make it the Rams.
The Rams are 1,
and then Seahawks maybe 2.
They're 3.
I'm making the Texans top 5. I think
they're not.
Well, that's
but
a bad
top
list.
10.
Go to the
they're
next
top
topic.
10.
Okay, it's a bad list. I would say okay. The Rams. So the Seahawks are 3. The Rams are, and then they're probably going to put the no, not the 49ers. I get tired of them being overhyped. I actually think the Bears are going to be a surprise team. I say surprise. They won 11 games last year. They're
not in the top 10.
Yeah, I think that's a mistake. Eagles are really talented, actually. Still.
Eagles are 2.
Yeah, Eagles are still really talented. I'm not putting the Chiefs in there. I'm going to say Denver is up there.
Denver is 8.
Probably Chargers, when healthy, should be in there.
They're not.
They're not in the top 10?
They're not. They're not in the top 15.
Where's I don't know. They got their 2 starting tackles coming back. We'll see. We'll see about that. They're not. Are they giving the Ravens are in there?
The Ravens are 5.
They probably put the Bills in there, but I'm not
4.
Sure. Yeah. So I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6 would probably be like.
Like, okay, so if the Bills didn't have Josh Allen.
Yeah, I don't think the Bills should be that high.
Would they be?
No, I don't think so.
I mean,
Cook's
Ed
really
Oliver,
good.
Oliver, Greg Russo, well, Bradley Chubb.
They've got Cook. They've got Dalton
they've got
Knox.
Cook,
they've
Kincaid,
got
Knox.
Kincaid. Those
they
guys,
don't have wide. Well, DJ Moore, no.
Khalil Shakir. Yeah, he's all right. Khalil Shakir is okay. Yeah. Their offensive line is pretty solid.
I think these quarterbacks, look at every single team has a pretty damn good quarterback.
Yeah.
And I think he makes
the whole.
Do they
have the Bengals in the top 10?
The Bengals are not.
Okay, I was going to say they shouldn't
be.
No,
their offensive line
they'll
is
have,
a problem.
So did they put the Chiefs in there?
Nope.
Okay, they shouldn't be. Good for them. Did they put Dallas in there?
No, this is not. It's the Detroit is 6.
Oh, they'll put the Packers in for sure.
7 is the Patriots. 8 is the Broncos. The Texans are 9. And the Packers are 10.
Yeah. That's not a bad list. I think the Texans might be a little higher, but we'll see. I'm putting a lot of faith in that aging offensive line who's been injury prone staying healthy.
Chargers are 13, Cowboys 14, the Bengals 15, Jags, they don't have the Bears are 17.
They were 11-6 last year and they're 17.
That's okay.
In the hardest division in football. Okay. They were in conference they
well,
were 7.
Well, I would say the NFC West.
Well, now
the
in the
hardest.
Division they were 2-4. Yeah. To be fair.
Yeah, but the NFC West is the best division.
Yeah, that was most competitive top to bottom. There is no Arizona in that division, though. That's my point. Lions,
yeah.
Vikings, the, Packers, Bears, that's a scrap. You got Arizona.
Yeah, but there's in that division, there's no Seattle or Rams.
Yeah, that's true. How do you have three teams that won 12 or more in one division? That seems almost impossible.
Right.
That seems almost impossible. In the division, all three of those teams went 4-2. So of course the Cardinals had to go 0-6. Yeah.
Is Detroit overrated?
I think so.
They got the 6th here. Detroit for the last couple of years has been well. That playoff game that they lost was just a killer for the organization.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, last year they were. They were not a really good football team.
Yeah, I'm not sure that I – so I had to do win predictions for every team. It actually ended up being harder than I thought because I end up having all this parity, and that's not the way football actually works. You know, you end up having things like three teams with 12 wins or more. But like Broncos, 14-3, Jacksonville, 13-4. It's hard getting to – it's hard getting to that amount of wins when you look at these teams. Like, it's very difficult. You just start playing the average odds, and it's easy to stay at 10, 11. There's a reason these over-unders don't usually go any higher than 11.5. And that's on the high end. There's a reason for that. But I feel like the Ravens are coming down. I feel like the Chargers are going to go up. Broncos are on the way up. Chiefs, I think, are going down. I don't know what to expect from Jacksonville, to be honest with you. Colts, I don't know what to expect from the Colts. If Daniel Jones looks like he did last year, they're still a pretty dangerous team. Steelers are on the way down. I don't see any scenario where the Steelers are a factor this year in the playoffs. I think a lot of it's going to rest on Joe Burrow staying healthy. Joe Burrow staying healthy, and can they get good enough defensively?
That's everything for them.
Are they going to be good enough defensively, though? Because last year, remember, he played, and then he lost his love for the game.
Yeah, he did. He was sad.
Well, because he hates to lose.
But they did pick up Dexter Lawrence. And
yeah, they did. They did, and they drafted, and I'm sure some of these guys you drafted will finally get a sack.
Yeah.
They're going to have a target on their back this year. We'll see. I mean, 14 wins was a ton. That was an incredible season.
I see that team falling off.
They had 170-point net differential. Is that the best in football? Yeah, the Patriots had the best by far. No, I'm sorry. Seattle was 191. The Rams were 172-point differential. And then the Patriots at 170.
Yeah, but they played a fourth-place schedule, too.
Yeah. No, it helps. It helps. And you play against the Jets and Dolphins.
Yep.
Four times.
But they still do.
They still do, yeah.
They still got those four games.
They still do. I mean, you're going to have at least a 12-game winner coming out.
Didn't they go 1-1 with the Bills?
Division, they were 5-1, so yeah, I think they went 1-1.
Yeah, 1-1 with the Bills. Yeah, I think the Bills are going to have a good year. I think the Patriots fall off. No, I'm sorry, Zoe. Sorry, buddy. But that's just...
Well, it's impossible to stay at a 14-win level.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not going to happen. I really do think that this could be the year for the Chargers. You got Joe Alt back. You got... who's their other tackle? Slater back. So you got some legit tackles coming back. And didn't you... Although I'm not sure what they did in the draft. I'm not sure they really... Or free agency... I'm not sure if they really helped themselves that much, but you still have Justin Herbert. So until Herbert proves himself, he's just a guy who he's just Pulisic.
So, I mean, I'm a little surprised that they've got the Texans that high, if you want to know the truth, because of the offensive line, the perception, because
nine?
Of C.J. Stroud, what everybody saw of him last. But that defense brings them up so high that, you know, if you look – the projected best defenses in the league with Seattle, with the Rams, with the Texans, they're all the Eagles. These are all really strong, strong defensive teams up here. The Patriots, they were a good defense. Broncos are considered one of, if not, they're going to challenge the Texans for best defense in the league this year.
Yeah.
I think they put a lot of emphasis on how good your defense is.
Is there any chance that, the Raiders could be a surprise team this year? You know, we never saw this coming with the Patriots. And I know it's easy to say, no chance. But is there any chance that maybe the Raiders, I mean, their roster doesn't look good enough, but if Fernando comes out and plays
it's gonna be
above
fun.
Average, they've got a really good running back who, you know, their offensive line has to play better.
I think they'll figure that out this year.
I don't think
is Clint Kubiak ready to turn around an entire organization.
I mean, Vrabel did with the help of his quarterback, who played great. Let's face it, Drake May was in the conversation for MVP.
Yeah, but Vrabel had head coaching experience.
Yeah, but this is a Kubiak we're talking about.
Yep,
a football lifer, John.
Yep,
he's got.
Well, the Shanahans did it. The Kubiaks can do it.
I like the hiring by the Raiders, but no, they're not ready to make that.
They're
jump.
Not ready to they're not ready. Take a big
they're
number.
Not ready.
But what's their number? 4.5, 5?
Yeah, so it's actually like 5.5, which five I thought was like, ooh, that's.
I don't know.
Ooh,
I like
they're
it.
Making you. They're making you pay a premium.
I think
they're in a tough division.
Well, if you don't want to pay a premium, but you want your metal to look great, Houston Powder Coaters is here for you. Listen, you got patio furniture, you got boat parts, you've got your grill or your smoker, you've got, so many things that are metal that they can help you with. You have, whatever it is that you have that's metal that you need to look good, or you're buying new patio furniture, send it to Houston Powder Coaters first. They'll pick it up and deliver absolutely free. Now, you're going to pay for the patio furniture, right? And then you want me to pay to get it coated, too? I want you to pay so that it lasts forever. It's going to be in the elements every day. The heat, the sun, the humidity, the rain, the hail, the hurricanes. It's going to be in everything in Houston. So make it last. And if you just put it out there, guess what? And plus, I mean, you may buy that patio furniture and say, I don't love the color. Houston Powder Coaters will change it. Change the color, okay? Make it your favorite team's color or however you want, whatever color it is that you want. Houston Powder Coaters been doing it. Houston Powder Coaters, the city hired them to beautify the city for the World Cup. Look what they did. You're looking for the best way to powder coat whatever it is that you need powder coated. Free pickup, delivery, HoustonPowderCoaters.com. Tell Robin you heard it here.
Houston's independent voice for sports, ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
You think people are pissed that we got away from soccer for a segment? Probably. We apologize. Next up, WNBA talk.
I've seen mixed bags. Some people are tired of the soccer talk. I've seen other people like, oh, great, Rockets are coming now.
Who's excited about
But it's not. Like, it's literally Astro season, but it is almost like we're just cruising until the All-Star break and then the trade deadline
soccer,
to see what happens.
I thought about this
the transfer window.
Soccer was, and I'll still watch the rest of the tournament. It was a nice little run as we get ever closer to football. Look, it's early July. We don't got that long to go.
We really don't. End of July is the start.
I was locked
in. It's three weeks. Oh,
no.
There's two. We're 2.5 weeks away from camp.
Camp is right around the corner, everybody. So you should be thanking soccer for the distraction
But had they won, Del, we're another week closer.
I wanted them to win. I was locked in more for the
When did you know there was no chance of winning? I knew.
I don't know about no chance, but
I knew when they went up 2-1, I'm like, this is over.
Oh, yeah. That was
because they had way too many opportunities.
The way they scored was just right after. I was fearful even before the goal, like about the 5 or 6 minutes that took place right before they scored in the first half, after the kickoff.
Oh, it was, opportunities
like,
galore.
This is different than what we've seen from this team, and I knew we were in trouble. You just get a sinking feeling that we're going to have to scrap and claw and not be the better team and win. And they did. I thought the Tillman thing gave them a reprieve. You got a little luck, deflection, goal. Mm-hmm. Now you're in it. And the first attack. Belgium's like, hey, let's kick off. Like Chris Richards, who was one of the guys who was.
How quickly did they score after? Was it 3 minutes?
61 seconds?
Wait, what? It was that fast?
You got to.
I knew it was fast.
You got to consider that there was a celebration with Tillman after he scored. You know, the typical soccer celebration. And they scored. So he scored in the 31st minute. They scored in the 33rd minute. And the clock doesn't stop for the celebration.
Right.
So that's how quick that goal happened. The first attack, and I was watching replay this morning of the goal, and I watched one of the Americans, I think it was Chris Richards, one of the guys who was really devastated, was crying after the game on the field. He ran and grabbed the ball out of the net because he let's go, let's quicken up the pace. I was like, Chris, do you know what you're asking
you
for?
You just tied the game.
No, what he wanted to do was like, hey, we got the momentum, let's get this ball back in play, let's keep going. He wasn't aware, obviously, of what was coming. Seconds later.
Obviously.
I mean, it was like.
He wasn't aware.
They literally said, okay, bitch, let's see what happens
and
now.
It was simple.
Kick this hoe off. Let's see how easy we can score.
It was a floated cross and
Ream fell down. He literally, you know, they do the thing where they do little in basketball or you moss somebody. You can either do the moss or you can do little. That's what they should have done. On his head. He's falling, has ponytails flying all over the place like a dummy.
They interviewed Becky Sauerbrunn, who's a center, who was a center back for the U.S. women. You know,
need a 6'7" Englishman
there. Well, that's hard.
Dad messed around with
We need a few Norwegians.
We need an English dad who messed or a Norwegian who messed around with a U.S. woman and got her pregnant.
Our left back is English. Our right back is Dutch. One of our midfielders is German.
Can we get an Argentinian?
We do have too many white guys.
No, you think no. Not Argentinians.
No, our white guy count's gone down quite a bit.
Well, but we had Ream.
Well, he's 38. I don't mind a white center back. The U.S. has a long history of good white center backs.
I don't mind a white center back.
I don't know what John's talking about.
Del St. Brown?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
I don't mind. He's upset. I don't mind a white center back.
No, they're busy.
We've had a long history.
They stay busy. They're like the slot corners.
Carlos Bocanegra. We've had a long history of good white center backs. No more. That's why the 38-year-old was playing.
Well,
and then he got dunked on.
I mean, our white best player, Pulisic.
He's not our best player.
It is true, though. Americans travel. They like to get busy on the road, too, when they get chances. So is no one getting pregnant with a baby that could come play for the U.S. but with an American man?
What do you mean? We just had multiple guys do that.
We need more better ones. Go to
Can't
South
we have
America.
Mr. St. Brown Listen, put out a soccer player.
I know. Go to South America and start getting people
that.
Pregnant. This is ridiculous.
They're not going
to
allow that.
We need a little. Well, I don't typically like the little guys, but the little guys get by you with the ball.
Not our little guys.
I know. I'm watching the heavy foot England and Germany, and those teams are not so fast. And I mean black or white players. They're not they're long-legged. Sometimes you need those little wee,
Oopaloopas. The French don't have any wee guys.
No, they don't have wee guys. They're not wee, and they're pretty good. Argentina's wee, and they're good, too.
Well, they're built
Spain
the
is kind of a
world.
Spain's kind of a middle of the pack, somewhat, but they're not big.
Somewhat boring how they play right now.
Spain?
Yeah, you saw it.
Yeah, you know, European champion. Doesn't matter.
That was a boring
advance.
Game.
Moving on. On to the next one, Brian. Doesn't matter, Brian.
Yeah.
Champions of the champions of the Euros, Brian. Doesn't matter, Brian. Euro
finalists, Brian.
headed to the Final Four. Headed to the Final Four. They're headed to
eight.
No, they'll roll Belgium. They're headed to the Final Four. Belgium's about to get smacked by Spain.
What happens to Belgium?
They're about to get smacked 1-0.
I don't know. Highlight.
They're about to get a 1-0 ass kicking.
What happens to Belgium is
with 81% possession.
It's just going to highlight how bad the U.S. were last night.
It is.
Spain, oh, my God. Don't even say
what
that.
What Spain does to Belgium.
Paraguay showed how great we are.
Stop it. What Spain does to Belgium, even if it is a 1-0, it'll just be a dominating 1-0, is going to show how bad we were last night.
Belgium's going to win that game.
No.
And so we're going to be going, Belgium. Belgium.
Oh, yeah.
Belgium.
Everyone's cheering for Belgium.
Well, they were. Well, some were last night for reasons.
Some of the U.S. fans?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'd back your boys.
Terrible.
I get that everything's politicized and polarized.
Oh, my God.
I'd back the boys.
I don't even want to hear that. 713-780-3776, top of the hour. 713-780-3776.
Close your ears,
don't
John.
Go anywhere.
I got a call from a guy yesterday.
Who?
I got a call on my show. Said, nope, I'm out. He goes, I don't even like soccer.
Oh, well, he doesn't.
Well, he
doesn't
care.
He doesn't matter.
He had a lot invested.
But he said, I wasn't rooting for the team, but I wasn't rooting against them, but I will specifically be watching, hoping they lose.
Well, no one cares. You don't
because
even
of the Balogun thing?
Well, because of the alleged interference.
Well, whatever.
It doesn't matter. He doesn't even watch the sport. Who cares?
Who is it? I think... Who is it?
Back
Spain?
Your boys.
No,
I get
somebody
the
is in. Somebody is appealing their yellow cards now.
Yeah, the French, maybe.
The French.
On the Olise yellow
card.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they're probably saying.
Oh, yeah, the Olise.
Well,
yeah.
The Olise yellow card was bull crap.
Well, that's why they're appealing.
They're probably saying,
that's
what are you talking about? These guys were literally trying to sucker punch us, and we got the cards, and they didn't? How suspect is that?
Yeah. All right, let's break. Don't go anywhere. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.